Forgiveness isn't an easy topic, and our scripture lesson today is about that. So if you would, open up your pew Bible to the book of... Now, I will warn you in advance, I will butcher this name through the entire sermon, even through the reading. So it's the book of Philemon, also possible pronounced Philemon. I'm going to pronounce it both ways just because I don't know which one's the right one, and depends on my stutter and how it's working at that time. So, to Philemon, we're going to read. So, page 203 in your pew Bible is where Philemon starts. It's right before Hebrews, right after Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. And even though we might be just a smidge pressed for time, we're going to read the entire book today of Philemon. All 25 verses. Very short book. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your love in giving to us your word. We ask you, Lord, to lead and guide us today as we go through part of your word, to be upon our hearts, to help challenge us and encourage us, help us draw closer to you, for you, Lord, are giving us your grace in this moment. We pray that that grace and mercy breeds love, and that love breeds devotion to you. We thank you, Lord, and praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Excuse me. Hear now God's word. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own soul, your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The art of letter writing has become a dying art, is becoming a dying art. Philemon is one of my favorite letters because it is a letter in its entirety. You know, you read Romans, which is a letter. 1st and 2nd Corinthians are all letters. Ephesians is a letter. But they're so long, you get kind of lost. You know, it's hard to take them as a whole. But Philemon, you can take as a whole because you read the whole thing in one very easy sitting. And what you get in any letter you read, any letter you write to someone, is a snapshot of your life in that moment. And so we get a snapshot of Paul, Philemon's, and Onesimus' life. And it's almost like a soap opera in a way. So here's kind of what's going on. Onesimus, which seems to be a pseudonym in this case, because Onesimus is a word that means useful. And so I don't know if that was the slave's real name or not, but it's a name that Paul decides to use to help a point in his letter. So Onesimus is a slave to Philemon. And something happened between master and slave. We don't know what. We're not told. But it's not something great. It seems like either Onesimus disrespected his master in some way or stole something or committed some crime. We don't know. But the end result of whatever happened, Onesimus ran away from his master. That in itself, running away from your master, is a chargeable offense. Philemon could get the authorities in the mix, and he could be in a lot of trouble. Somehow, and we don't know how, Onesimus and Paul hooked up in Rome. We don't know if Onesimus knew of Paul in his master's service, or it was just one of those God incidences. But Onesimus came to Paul, and their relationship, through that relationship, Onesimus' heart was given to God. And he served Paul with his whole heart. He was his arms and his legs, his hands and his feet. He ran errands, and he helped Paul out with food. Because remember, Paul's under house arrest. He can't go anywhere. So Onesimus acted as the go-between for whatever Paul needed. And those two became very, very close and very, very tight. And in the course of their relationship, Paul found out that Onesimus was a runaway slave. And not just that Onesimus was a runaway slave, Paul found out that he knew Onesimus' master, Philemon. And so through that, Paul encouraged Onesimus to go back, saying, you've got to do this. He says, but I am going to help. And he sends with him a letter. So Onesimus shows up, and then now Philemon has a choice. How's he going to respond to his runaway slave coming back? Now, in this letter, there's a whole lot of great things in it, but there's also a rare look at two sides of the understanding of forgiveness. Now, just two sides. Forgiveness is a huge, complex, multifaceted kind of idea. And our story gives us two sides of that. The first that we're going to talk about is Philemon's point of view. Onesimus did something wrong. We can't doubt that. We can't argue against that. Onesimus messed up. He ran away. You're not allowed to do that. He did something else. We're not sure what it is. He shouldn't have done that either. Philemon now gets a chance to address the person who did him wrong. And he has multiple ways to respond to that. Does he say, well, slave, welcome back. Now let's go to the authorities. He has every right to take his slave to the local authorities where he will be in prison and beaten for his crimes. Philemon has every right, according to the law, to do just that. Philemon also has the opportunity to say, okay, Onesimus, you're back. I forgive you for what you did to me. Now, I'm hungry. Go make me supper. He could do that. Keep the relationship the same. Nothing changes, except that now Philemon is holding this over Onesimus. The threat of punishment still there, because it's only a cursory for forgiveness, and he's still going to be a slave. Or he could do what Paul wants him to do. And what Paul wants him to do is to accept him back, no longer as a slave, but to accept him back as a brother, as someone saved through Jesus Christ, as someone totally forgiven by the blood of Christ. Paul wants Onesimus, or wants Philemon, to forgive him in the exact same way, to drop everything. And as we told the kids today, when you forgive someone in the way that Christ has forgiven us, it's that memory doesn't go. We've heard the phrase forgive and forget, right? That's hogwash. There are some things that are going to happen to you, that someone does to you, and you will never forget it. It is going to shape who you become. But you can forgive in those moments. And what that means is, when you forgive that person, when you forgive what had happened, that the blood of Christ washes that memory and makes it no longer a poison in your life, but a strength. That you're able to give it up to Christ, so that it can shape you into someone better, not someone worse. And it will help the other person, but it will also help you because of what the Spirit of Christ is doing in your life. Now, I love Paul's language here. Paul's a funny guy. He says to Philemon, have you ever had someone in your life ask you to do something? It could be a sibling, it could be a spouse, it could be a parent, a grandparent. They ask you to do something, but you know that they're not really asking you to do it, that they are telling you it needs done, but they couch it in terms of a question. I do it to my kids all the time. Jonathan's chore is to put the dishes away from the dishwasher. And almost every day, I will say to Jonathan, Jonathan, will you please put the dishes away? I'm not asking Jonathan if he can put the dishes away. I'm telling him to do it. Paul is doing the exact same thing in here. He says to Philemon, let me see here. He says, for this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather you do it out of love, not because I told you. And secondly, he says of Onesimus to Philemon, so you, if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way and owes you anything, charge it to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. All right? So that sounds fair enough. If Onesimus has done anything wrong to you, I'll repay that wrong that he's done to you. Paul could have kept it right there, and you know, that's pretty forceful. But he goes on to say, I say nothing about you owing me everything. When you say to something, I say nothing, you're actually saying it. Paul's reminding Philemon just how much he owes him. Because the truth is that forgiving someone of a debt, forgiving someone of the wrong that they've done for you, is no easy matter. It really takes the love of Christ to do that. To be able to let go of all the pain, the anger, the bitterness, that takes the Holy Spirit. That takes cooperation with Christ in our lives. And it's no easy feat. And that's what Paul was asking Onesimus to do. All of us in our lives have been wronged one way or another. All of us have already, or will at some point, be in Philemon's shoes. To be able to give an opportunity to forgive, to be reborn in that pain and no longer have it be a poison in our lives, but have us shape us in love and in generosity. Now, that's just one side of the coin. The next side of the coin is Onesimus. Onesimus did something wrong. And he ran away from what he did, and in running away, he did something wrong again. Paul was saying to him, Onesimus, you can't live life a fugitive to yourself, not only to the law as a runaway slave, but when we run from the wrongs that we've done, we create in ourselves a fugitive, someone whom we know is not facing that thing that we need to face. And so we build up more poison in our lives, wearing us down, making us, keeping us from whom God wants us to be. And so Paul says to him, go back to the person you've wronged and ask for their for forgiveness. Not just for Philemon's sake, but for Onesimus' own sake. So that he can be that person that God desires him to be. So that he, in asking for forgiveness, faces one of the hardest moments in his life, relying upon God. And I love this because Paul doesn't let him go alone, but sends with him a letter and helps him in every way possible. But in asking for forgiveness, we're not allowing our own selves to let go of the pain that we've done to others, but we're allowing the other person opportunity to heal in their own lives. And that's no easy feat either. Onesimus had to look the person whom he hurt in his eyes and say, I am sorry. When we ask for forgiveness, we so desire to hear you're forgiven back. But that's not for us to decide. That's for the other person. We are only responsible for the asking for forgiveness. And we are responsible for that. I am sorry for the way that I've hurt you. I did not act the way that I desire to act in my life. I am working to be better, and I am so sorry, and I will do everything in my power to rectify the harm that I've done. Please forgive me. And if you can't find it in your heart to forgive me, that's okay. I will still do everything I can to be what's necessary. It's not easy. In fact, AA has this point in their life and one of the steps to ask for forgiveness, as long as it doesn't continue the harm in the other person's lives. Sometimes we are just a harm to another person, and the best thing that we can do is stay away. But we need to ask for forgiveness, to let go of that poison in our lives, and to allow Christ change us. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiving isn't easy. Following Jesus Christ will put us in some of the most difficult situations that we can ever imagine. But as Paul walked along Onesimus' side and encouraged Philemon as best as he could, so Christ walks along with us and helps to give us the strength to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. Because I guarantee everyone here, including myself, has been wronged and has wronged. And I pray that we have the strength, Christ's strength, to repair those relationships that have been damaged so that the love of Christ can be shown freely to those around us. I pray for each of us that Christ helps us put one foot in front of the other and to do just that. And I thank God that He's with us always.